I'm Steve Stein, and you're listening to Inside Asia. Welcome back. This week, we bring you something completely different. Why? Because we're staring down the barrel of our third season here on Inside Asia, and while the conversations get richer and deeper with each passing episode, we don't want to miss the chance to branch out a bit as well. Traveling the region, I come face to face with some fascinating characters. And in this episode, I take you along on a little adventure to meet a Raja from Indonesia. I met him first on the dance floor. That's right, the dance floor. A Raja with rhythm and a moonwalk to match. The Raja had an infectious laugh, and throughout the night he worked the room, doling out handshakes, smiles, and light conversation. We spoke at intervals throughout that evening, and on his way out he invited me to dinner. So, the next evening, I jumped on my motorbike and went to see him. Okay, it's nighttime. Here in Bali, going to see the Raja, the Sultan, one of 300 plus sultans or rajas or royals from Indonesia. Now this is a interesting situation because in 1945, after independence, from the Dutch, the rajas or the royals who were largely siding and supporting Dutch colonialism, the royals were all relieved of their responsibilities for Indonesia. They lost all political power, and as a result, they were then given ceremonial titles, ceremonial responsibilities. Many ended up needing to get jobs. They became land wealthy and cash poor. So I'm on the bike, headed out. I'll come back to you in just a minute. I'm going to put this on pause because, I don't know, writing and recording just is not a safe thing. Back to you soon. After riding through back roads, dodging torn pavement and potholes, I found myself in central Ubud. At the crossroads near the palace, tourists and traffic battled for right of way. It took some asking around, but eventually I found myself standing before the legend. The restaurant, not the man. It was earlier, perhaps he was late, so I settle into a corner of the open-air restaurant to wait. The Raja doesn't just enter a restaurant, he unfurls. Elegantly dressed and carrying a scepter, the symbol of his office, I watched as the restaurant turned to take note of the Raja with a quick step and a big smile. I'll let him make the introductions.
I am Raja Samusamu VI, the last of Ankoning Stambum, Maluku. My full name, Upulatu Beni Ahmad Samusamu. I am the king of the Sikhs from the royal Samusamu from Maluku.
Samusamu VI, Raja of Maluku, is descended from an unbroken royal line that dates to the 16th century. He's also the Secretary General of the Association of Indonesian Rajas and Sultans. On this particular evening, I wasn't his only dinner guest. At least 24 folks from every possible origin and ethnicity were assembled around a table that ran the length of the restaurant. By his side was another man of some notoriety, Rex Sumner. Sumner is a British citizen but born on the Indonesian island of Java. Eclectic and eccentric, he spent his life shuttling between the two nations, a kind of cultural ambassador. Today he serves at the pleasure of the Raja, part advisor, translator, and handler. Sumner has embarked on a range of social enterprise projects that bring local entrepreneurs and foreign financiers together. As we eased into dinner conversation, Sumner described Indonesia's scale, diversity, and hidden opportunities.
Indonesia is an enormous country. We call it our land and sea because it's a massive archipelago. There are 12,577 islands here, including three of the biggest islands in the world. In size, it stretches the same distance as New York to San Francisco. It's big, and it's a very deep, the same size as the United States, but it occupies a lot of it that is sea. In that area, there were 577 languages spoken by different peoples, each of which at one point had more than one kingdom, so it's very large. I'd just like to go back again to your question, which I don't think the Raja fully understood. He's very good at English, but it is not his. It is one of several languages that he speaks. When he gave you the 16th century date, that's of his current family, known as the Samusamu. His people, who were a sailing sailing people who are sailing all over the place and trading, we can trace them back more to the beginning of recorded history through the written word, which is about 6,000, not 600, but 6,000 words. And from the oral tradition, the Raja believes that he is descended in a direct line from Noah.
Another boating individual.
Another boating individual. And the interesting thing to me is that part of his heritage is that they were living on these islands. They were superb sailors. They sailed the Pacific. They sailed across the Indian Ocean to Africa. And who were the leaders? They were the navigators, the people who could track when we had no compass, when we didn't know what latitude and longitude was. And to this day, the Raja has a wonderful instinct and apparently control of the weather. The weather certainly seems to do whatever he wants it to do. And this is the sort of thing that you would expect a great navigator to have, and is a part of the basis of not just his spiritual ability, but his strength as a leader, because people would, of course, respect the navigator. Sorry, I just hope that explains some of what
thank you. Thank you, Rex. And that raises an interesting question, which is, up until the 1940s, the Rajas ruled Indonesia for centuries. And then modern Indonesia independence occurred, and the Rajas were, their political power was removed. Since then, my understanding is that they still hold the respect of the people and the power and the influence of Indonesia. So today, what's your primary role? If you don't have political power, what's the role you play in Indonesia today?
Yes. Today and for the next, I am Raja Samusamo and with all of the Raja and the Sultan and Datu as the keeper for maintenance, for the flow and safe of our cultural and tradition of our, from our country.
This is Inside Asia, and I'm at dinner with Raja Samusamo VI and his aide-de-camp, Rex Sumner. More in a moment.
Inside Asia is supported in part by Black Marketing, the world's most recommended LinkedIn marketing agency, created and led by the world's most recommended LinkedIn marketing masterclass instructor, entrepreneur, and best-selling author, Chris J. Reed. Black Marketing is an award-winning, independent, boutique B2B marketing consultancy that specializes in enabling you to achieve your business objectives through LinkedIn. Learn more at www.blackmarketing.com.
This is Inside Asia, and you're listening to my conversation with Raja Samusamo VI and his Java-born, British-raised personal assistant, Rex Sumner. Indonesia is an archipelago nation balanced on the edge of the Pacific Ocean's so-called Ring of Fire, the active edge of a latticework of tectonic plates. That means earthquakes and tsunamis are a source of constant concern. On September 28, 2018, Indonesia's island of Sulawesi was hit by both. More than 2,000 people died that day, and our Raja from Maluku province happened to be there. He was caught up in the disaster, and by the grace of God, so he tells us, he managed to escape. During our evening together, he gave me an astonishing first-person account.
When I am still sleeping, I feel, I don't know, I feel any enemy for myself. And I wake up and I'm standing and to ready position to fight. I don't know who's my enemy. I'm only looking for where my enemy.
Because the bed was shaking.
Yes. Yeah.
May I just explain? Yeah. The Raja had to catch a 5 a.m. flight from Jakarta that day to Palu. So he had been up very early, and he just was taking an afternoon nap when the earthquake hit, and he had been woken up by the earthquake. That's why he doesn't normally sleep in the afternoon.
Right.
Why he was
right. Well, I would sleep in the afternoon if I had a choice, but it's so, why not? But then all of a sudden the earthquake came, and you ran outside.
Yes. when I'm still looking for my enemy, but I saw all chairs, table, my bed
shaking,
and then my body, oh, very, very high, this shaking. I don't know, but because I'm just wake up, so I'm maybe loading, I'm still looking for, and I hear from the outside my room, my villa, everybody, the door, knock the door with the high, the hot, my yeah, knock my door and my glass of the window, and when I walk around, I saw everybody always shake also like as I together, and then after that I try back to my room. I take my telephone to call my queen in Jakarta, and I could be contact my queen to remember if I have any earthquake in Palu with high scala. And then I still hear a voice from my queen to warning myself, be careful about the tsunami. After that, my handphone is off. The lighting off. In the dark, I take my shirt and with the susah?
With difficulty.
With the difficulty. And then after I could be take, and I walk around. When I walk around the outside my villa, I saw all of many people walk around from the street, come into my complex villa. While them scream, run, any water. When I hear the scream from other people running with the fast run and hear about the water, I hear the voice whoosh, 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 whoosh. I know only about the tsunami. I feel
the sound of the water.
Yes, the sound of the water. And then I'm with from come from in deep my heart. I call three times of name God. When I call the name of God, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and I said to God, don't come to me. What happened? It is the first tsunami. Around with the high tsunami, around 7 meters until 10 meters. The tsunami break down, and the water walk to the right and walk to left from my villas.
And you were standing in the middle.
I am still standing.
And the water is passing by you.
Yes, yes, sides. Passing to left, to right, and left. Yeah. After that, I back to my room, take my bag, my copper, and then I ask to my staff. I asked to my driver to take my bag from my villas and to put on my car, and we go around to turn right.
I'd just like to point out that this villa that the Raja was staying in was 60 meters, that's 60 yards from the beach.
Yes.
And the wave split and didn't touch the villa. I think we should be calling him King Canute, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Rushing out from his villa, the Raja describes a scene of chaos and devastation. Buildings, shipping containers, and cars were being swept inland by a 6-meter-high rogue wave. People were trapped and terrified, scrambling to escape. News reports declared it the greatest natural disaster to strike Indonesia in a decade. Witnessing the disaster proved a life-changing experience for the Raja. After the event, he and others were at a loss to explain how or why the victims weren't warned in time.
For many, it appears the alarm sounded too late. For others, text messages broadcasting alerts were apparently disrupted by the earthquake that preceded the giant wave. When we return, I discuss with the Raja the role of the royal families in modern Indonesia. Back in a moment. This is Steve Stein, and you're listening to Inside Asia. In this episode, I'm dining with a king and learning a bit about Indonesia's cultural history, its challenges, and the traditional and emerging role of the country's remaining rajas and sultans. As the reigning Secretary General of the Association of Indonesian Rajas and Sultans, I asked him what he hoped to achieve under his tenure, uniting people, foreign and local alike, around key economic and social challenges remains his greatest hope and ambition.
I love peace. I never to make difference between other people, but I like how to make relationship to everybody in the world and to make we are is familiar.
That was the Raja Samu Samu VI of Maluku, the current Secretary General of the Association of Indonesian Rajas and Sultans, and de facto King of Kings, along with his public relations and project advisor, Rex Sumner. As I mentioned at the outset, my encounter with the Raja made for a different kind of Inside Asia episode. While the Raja's role in Indonesia is largely, if not entirely, ceremonial, I was struck by his passion to make the most of his term as Secretary General. There are more than 600 royal families sprinkled across Indonesia's 17,000 or more islands, so uniting the country behind anything is no easy task. This Raja is undaunted. He's a king with a plan and a mission to reignite Indonesia's pride in its centuries-old beliefs and traditions. His ambitions don't stop there. The Raja has designs on brokering a new set of local foreign partnerships to improve and showcase all that Indonesia has to offer. Under Dutch colonial rule, the Rajas were afforded a degree of political influence on the condition that they continue to pay tribute and defer to their colonial masters. That all ended in 1945 when Sukarno and his resistance movement won the day and ejected the Dutch. Sukarno wasted no time revoking political rights for the royals, partly as punishment for their siding with the Dutch, and also to guard against the possibility of local resistance. The Pancasila, or the Five Principles, were presented as the new rallying cry for Indonesian unification, displacing, so he hoped, loyalty to the potentate. The Rajas were left land-rich and cash-poor. Many drifted away, and others rose to become the purveyors of Indonesian art and culture, toothless tigers of sorts. Today, there are three Raja associations that allow the royals to come together, discuss cultural issues, and exchange ideas on how to best assist their respective communities. Raja Samu Samu VI sees an opportunity to step things up, move beyond the ceremonial, and find ways to work his magic and his office to pair worthy ventures with willing money. Agribusiness, sustainable farming, urban renewal, and cottage industries are all initiatives receiving his time and attention. Building a coalition of Indonesian supporters is central to the plan. Pulling me aside during the dinner, Rex Sumner expressed it this way. He said, "The Rajas don't care about money. They care about culture and respect." Enlisting support from the people everywhere gets him that much closer to that end goal. As if on cue, someone at the dinner signaled that the Raja would like to speak. Rising from the head of the table, he scanned the mashup of guests, a Japanese couple at the far end, a woman from Russia to his left, three Australians across from her, and a sprinkling of Balinese entrepreneurs. To the Raja's right sat a woman from the Yukon. Before receiving the call to move to Bali, she raised sled dogs and lived off the grid. That evening, she was the Raja's special guest. "We are all family," declared the Raja, and reaching into his pocket, he pulled out a gold emblem, the royal family crest. Pinning the Yukon maiden, he panned the table, smiled his big smile, and said, "Now you are one of us. Just another night in a tropical wonderland called Bali." I hope you've enjoyed this episode, a diversion from our normal fare, but still fabric to the story we call Asia. If you like what you've heard and want more tales from the fringe, let us know. Send us an email or subscribe to our newsletter at www.insideasiapodcast.com. As always, we thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Steve Stein saying, coming from the outside on Inside Asia.
Inside Asia is supported in part by Black Marketing, the world's most recommended LinkedIn marketing agency, created and led by the world's most recommended LinkedIn marketing masterclass instructor, entrepreneur, and best-selling author, Chris J. Reed. Black Marketing is an award-winning, independent, boutique, B2B marketing consultancy that specializes in enabling you to achieve your business objectives through LinkedIn. Learn more at www.blackmarketing.com.